Welcome back, listeners. So we've our next interview guest will be Sana Sawat, who is coordinator of the Nuclear Free Collective from Friends of the Earth. Sana has also, as well as taking up all things nuclear, has been a speaker at anti-AUKUS, anti-nuclear submarines rallies, one that happened in Brunswick a couple of weeks ago, a couple of weekends ago, and some of the upcoming rallies as well. So welcome, Sana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being on our program. And I guess I want to kind of start off, Sana, by asking you about what you've been, Friends of the Earth has been very much involved in this important campaign to stop a nuclear waste dump in Kimber, of which is, I think, Peninsula in South Australia.
Air Peninsula.
And what can you guys tell me about this ongoing campaign?
Yeah, so the Morrison government proposed this flawed nuclear waste dump plan a couple of years ago, and the site was nominated, and a community ballot or a community consultation was done, but it failed to include it, or it actively excluded the voice of the Bangala traditional owners, who have native title over that area. And the Bangala traditional owners are unanimously opposed to a nuclear waste dump on their land for the obvious reasons. And so the traditional owners have put on a court case against the federal government about this, a judicial review. That was the 18th of July. The court spoke out about this, that it's unlawful. So that was a big win for the Bangala. The government has got about a week left to announce whether they are going to appeal the case, which would look terrible. It's basically political suicide in the face of a process for voice to parliament that they are promoting at the moment to actively fight Aboriginal voices from being heard. So hopefully we're urging the government now to walk away from the plan. It wasn't Labor's plan in the first place. They inherited it from the Morrison's government. So this court case is a clear sign that it's not a done deal, and that they can clean their hands of it and walk away while they still can, because it's just disaster over disaster. The nuclear waste dump, as it is proposed, is an above shed. It's totally irresponsible, and the intermediate level waste that it's supposed to host is way safer where it is at the moment in Lucas Heights at the ENSTO site, where it is safe for decades to come and doesn't have to be transported and double handled and everything like that.
Actually, Sana, could you tell us a little bit about the problems of nuclear waste and why a nuclear waste dump is so dangerous? I notice in the mainstream media, whenever they talk about nuclear submarines or nuclear industry to save us from climate change, et cetera, they never, ever talk about the dangers of nuclear waste. That topic has vanished from the mainstream media. So I'm just wondering if you could tell us about what the problems are with nuclear waste and nuclear waste dumps.
Yeah. So the main, so there's different levels of nuclear waste. And so the AUKUS nuclear submarines would have high level nuclear waste, which would also come out of a nuclear power plant and stuff, which is highly radioactive for hundreds of thousands of years. And I think that's where the main problem lies, that it is radioactive and has the risk to cause huge nuclear disasters, really, and accidents for generations and generations and generations to come. So the problem is, first of all, it's radioactive for such a long time. There's other types of radioactive waste. For example, what comes out of nuclear medicine or radioactive medicine, which is often used for chemo treatment in cancers. And there's a lot of misinformation spread about this. So one of the propagandas to establish this last radioactive waste dump in Kimba was, oh, we need this because we need our medicine waste to be stored somewhere. And that is really a myth, because the majority of the medicinal nuclear waste has a very short lifespan. So it's a matter of days or weeks or months, and that can just lie in hospitals and then get disposed of in normal waste. The Medical Association for the Prevention of War has got some really good information on that. They are doctors, and they are demystifying all that propaganda, because it's a very compelling argument. Everybody knows someone that has had cancer treatment, and we, of course, don't want to stop that. But that is not the type of waste that's actually going to be stored at these waste dumps. And the second big issue is that it's always going to be proposed on remote lands, which inevitably are traditional owners' lands. So the people that carry most of the burden of this are First Nations communities, and that's why it's often not talked about as well.
I want to go into, I guess, the kind of next question, which is, but also I think linking it to another question we're going to sort of ask as well, which was, Australia has very much this strong history of opposing uranium mining. And I guess one of the benefits of this kind of history is there's not really any sense of a nuclear industry in Australia. But of course, we're also hearing debates from sections of the community, more some people within the environmental space, you know, who are sort of trying to make this pragmatic sort of argument that we need to kind of support nuclear power because it's on the basis that it's a cleaner energy than coal and it's a stopgap kind of energy source. And I guess, how do you kind of respond, how would you respond to both the fact that, it's important for environmental activists to oppose any pushes to have a nuclear industry, but also responding to the sort of arguments around the climate?
Yeah, so there's a lot of misinformation, and the nuclear industry is fighting really hard to get a piece of the pie of the green revolution, so to speak. So they're very active in all the environmental spaces, and they're going to COPs, lobbying there. They've been very successful in Europe, getting included in the green taxonomy, for example. But it's really a flawed argument. Nuclear power is just too late, too slow, too expensive, and too risky. So it would take the average nuclear power plant, which basically the big nuclear power plants are not being built. There's a couple in the world that are still being built, and they're hugely over budget. So we're talking around like $30 billion to build them alone, and they are taking up to 20 years. They're always running out of time. A lot of them get cancelled mid-process, while already billions have been invested. So financially, it doesn't make any sense, and often the environmental prospect. We need a change way beyond 20 years from now. so we need that quicker. By the time actually a nuclear power plant would come online, we've reached way over a tipping point. So renewables can be put online within a year's time, and we need that, the quick and clean solutions that we need. Also, the environmental argument often looks only at the engineering process in the middle, but it totally ignores the uranium mining and the nuclear waste end of the cycle, and the enrichment part, which are all very problematic. The other argument against nuclear power as a solution for the climate crisis is that actually nuclear power plants need a lot of water, so does nuclear mining, uranium mining, but that water is going to be really scarce in like a lot of the causes and symptoms of climate change are going to be negatively affecting nuclear power plants, and we're already seeing those those symptoms and those results come out in France at the moment. So in the last 2 years, when it's been extremely hot in Europe, France, who's one of the main superpowers of nuclear power plants in Europe, has had to shut down quite a lot of its power plants because the water that it releases, the water is mainly used to cool down the reactor, so for cooling purposes. And so it's hot, warm water, and there's limits to how warm water you can release into the water to not totally starve an ecosystem to the river it comes into. And so, yeah, they had to shut down quite a lot of the reactors because of the actual heat of the water. So they couldn't release any water in it. So in a climate change future, we can actually not use a lot of those nuclear power plants.
That's really interesting, Sana, those points about why the nuclear industry can't save us from climate change and we need to look in the renewable energy direction. I'm wondering if you might also make some comments about the plan by the Australian government to spend megabucks, $368 billion, but most likely more than $400 billion on nuclear-powered submarines. And I think a lot of Australians hadn't really thought about the implications of this until the announcement early this year, when Albanese and the British Prime Minister and the US President were on a ship together making the announcement. And I think until that point, I think a lot of Australians hadn't thought about nuclear waste. But then there's also the impact on the Pacific nations as well. So I'm just wondering if you could talk about the implications of such a decision and, yeah, make some comments on that.
Yeah, the AUKUS nuclear submarines are just such bad news in so many ways. First of all, as you mentioned, the huge cost price tag related to it, which is just insane, and in a time that there are urgent needs such as like the current climate crisis and housing needs and welfare and healthcare needs, that seems like such a pie in the sky kind of idea to go and spend $368 billion plus dollars on nuclear submarines that are still a few decades away. First of all, the first submarines that are going to come from the US are secondhand submarines. Australia has committed to deal with the nuclear waste coming out of that already, which like it seems like a really good deal for the US to like just sell off some secondhand nuclear submarines and don't have to deal with the waste. And we pay big bucks for that. There's obviously other huge problems such as the war implications. The Pacific nations are usually against AUKUS and so is New Zealand, luckily has spoken out against it. For example, within Australia, it would also mean that any port where these nuclear submarines will be based will become a military target because each of these, like the nuclear submarines, are said not to be have nuclear ammunition, but they are nuclear powered. So if you blow up one of those submarines, you still have a nuclear bomb in that port, and that is a huge issue. We also made this agreement without really knowing what to do with the waste. The UK has got a bunch of nuclear submarines lying around that are lying there waiting to be decommissioned for decades and don't know what to do with them. They're just rusting away in a port. So it's bad news in all areas. One of the arguments for having nuclear propelled submarines is that they are more silent and less easy to detect. But, you know, like technology goes so quick, they're already developing technology to detect these. So by the time they actually come through, that argument will be pretty much obsolete. I also read yesterday that the defense is putting on a challenge in a STEM challenge in high schools for propelled nuclear submarines. And this is from year 7 to 12. And I think it's ridiculous that the defense is inside our schools, kind of stroking this propaganda among 14-year-olds, which is, I find that hugely disturbing. Yeah, I don't know. There's just so much to say about this. I don't know where to start or end.
Well, thank you very much, Sana. And I guess probably maybe it's time to... We're probably running out of a bit of time. So do you have any, final comments that you might like to make to conclude?
Yes. Yes, please. So this weekend, so August 6th, which is Sunday, and the 9th is the anniversary, the 78th anniversary or year since the horrific bombings in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The 6th of August, there is going to be an anti-Hiroshima rally / anti-August rally in front of State Library at 1 p.m. So we're asking everyone to come along to that. And the National Union of Students are putting on a rally for welfare, not warfare, also denouncing the huge spend and call to war at AUKUS on the 9th of August, which is also at State Library at 1 p.m. on Wednesday. And it would be really great if people could come along to that and really show the government how much dissent and non-content there is against this this AUKUS plan. We also are putting up today, so I'll send you the link so you can put that in the show notes, to have a petition to write emails to the government. In this week, we need to send a lot of emails to ask the government to walk away from the flawed Kimba dump so that they won't appeal the bungalow traditional owners in that fight. And, we always welcome more people in our collective. So please, I'll send you a link to that as well if anyone wants to come along to our meetings and help organize our next actions and events and join the movement against AUKUS and against the nuclear industry. We welcome everyone.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sana.
Thanks so much for having me.